Day 68, Thursday, January 5th. Job 29 and 30. Job 29 1 to 25 NKJV. Job further continued his discourse, and said, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, just as I was in the days of my prime, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were around me, when my steps were bathed with cream, and the rock poured out rivers of oil for me, when I went out to the gate by the city, when I took my seat in the open square, the young men saw me and hid, and the aged arose and stood, the princes refrained from talking, and put their hand on their mouth, the voice of nobles was hushed, and their tongue stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, then it blessed me, and when the eye saw, then it approved me, because I delivered the poor who cried out, the fatherless and the one who had no helper. The blessing of a perishing man came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me, my justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind, and I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and I searched out the case that I did not know. I broke the fangs of the wicked, and plucked the victim from his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my nest, and multiply my days as the sand. My root is spread out to the waters, and the dew lies all night on my branch. My glory is fresh within me, and my bow is renewed in my hand. Men listened to me and waited, and kept silence for my counsel. After my words they did not speak again, and my speech settled on them as dew. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the spring rain. If I mocked at them, they did not believe it, and the light of my countenance they did not cast down.
I chose the way for them, and sat as chief, so I dwelt as a king in the army, as one who comforts mourners.
Job 31-31 NKJV. But now they mock at me, men younger than I, whose fathers I disdained to put with the dogs of my flock. Indeed, what profit is the strength of their hands to me? Their vigor has perished. They are gaunt from want and famine, fleeing late to the wilderness, desolate and waste, who pluck mallow by the bushes, and broom tree roots for their food. They were driven out from among men, they shouted at them as at a thief. They had to live in the clefts of the valleys, in caves of the earth and the rocks, among the bushes they brayed, under the nettles they nestled. They were sons of fools, yes, sons of vile men, they were scourged from the land, and now I am their taunting song, yes, I am their byword. They abhor me, they keep far from me, they do not hesitate to spit in my face. Because he has loosed my bowstring and afflicted me, they have cast off restraint before me. At my right hand the rabble arises, they push away my feet, and they raise against me their ways of destruction. They break up my path, they promote my calamity, they have no helper. They come as broad breakers, under the ruinous storm they roll along. Terrors are turned upon me, they pursue my honor as the wind, and my prosperity has passed like a cloud. And now my soul is poured out because of my plight, the days of affliction take hold of me. My bones are pierced in me at night, and my gnawing pains take no rest. By great force my garment is disfigured, it binds me about as the collar of my coat. He has cast me into the mire, and I have become like dust and ashes. I cry out to you, but you do not answer me, I stand up, and you regard me, but you have become cruel to me, with the strength of your hand you oppose me. You lift me up to the wind and cause me to ride on it, you spoil my success, for I know that you will bring me to death, and to the house appointed for all living. Surely he would not stretch out his hand against a heap of ruins, if they cry out when he destroys it. Have I not wept for him who is in trouble? Has not my soul grieved for the poor? But when I looked for good, evil came to me, and when I waited for light, then came darkness. My heart is in turmoil and cannot rest, days of affliction confront me. I go about mourning, but not in the sun, I stand up in the assembly and cry out for help. I am a brother of jackals, and a companion of ostriches. My skin grows black and falls from me, my bones burn with fever. My harp is turned to mourning, and my flute to the voice of those who weep. Daily Deep Dive. Chapters 29, 30 and 31 begin Job's final and concluding comments. Chapter 29. This is an important chapter in that it gives us insight into who Job was and his role before this terrible trial came upon him. Notice the way he treated the less fortunate. This stands in strong contrast to the accusation of Eliphaz in Job 22, this past Sunday's reading. This chapter adds to the character of Job and demonstrates his justice and compassion toward others. Consider Job's perspective. When he had tried with his whole life to be just and fair, how much harder would it make it to feel God isn't being just and fair with him when clearly he regards God as so much greater than he is? The UCG reading plan states, Job continues his speech in chapter 29, longing for the good old days when it was clear that God was with him, when things were going well and people highly respected him. In verse 2 we see again that Job has been suffering his present condition for a number of months, compare Job 7:3. Chapter 29 shows that Job was a ruler. We earlier saw that he wore a crown, Job 19:9. Now we learn more about his role. He sat as judge, Job 29:7-17, as chief and as a king in the army, verse 25. The public square adjoining the city gate, verse 7, was the center of town government and commerce. When Job took his seat here, everyone demonstrated great respect for his position. Young men scattered, as it was inappropriate for them to be prominent before him, and the city elders all stood up, verse 8. Princes and nobles demonstrated their respect for him by remaining silent, verses 9-10, presumably until invited to speak. Job says the people appreciated his rule, verse 11, because he was a righteous and just ruler who stood up for the little guy, who rescued the vulnerable and helpless from those who sought to take advantage of them or cause them harm, verses 12-17. The citizens valued his counsel, verses 21-23. Some have translated verse 24 as saying, I laughed at them when they had no confidence, in a kindly, encouraging way perhaps, and the light of my countenance they did not cast down. See Expositor's Bible Commentary, footnote on verse 24. Others see the word translated here as laughed or mocked as meaning smiled, see the NIV for example. Yet the same word occurs just two verses later in Job 31, where it clearly means laugh or mock. Regarding verse 25, Expositor states, the last line of this verse, as one who comforts mourners, is awkward, in context, as currently translated, but there is no need to drop the line as Neb, the New English Bible, does nor to amend the text. Not a single consonant or word needs to be changed. Only a change in the vowels of the last two words creates the line. As I conducted them they were led, footnote on verse 25. Recall that in the original Hebrew, there were no vowels, only consonants. End, chapter 30, I encourage you to read this chapter through an easier to read translation such as the New Living Translation, NLT, free on eSword. Notice in this chapter how much has changed for Job. Not only is he dealing with intense severe trials, he has lost all the respect he once had in this area. Verse 1, the children of men that Job would not have seen fit to be in charge of his dogs, now mock Job. Verses 2 through 8, these fathers of verse 1 are now described how useless these men were in the land and how they were unemployable and the people drove them out of the city. Yet, it's the children of these type of men who now mock Job. Notice the way Job is being treated by these people. Verse 10, the NLT states this more clearly as, they despise me and won't come near me, except to spit in my face. Verse 12, this verse doesn't read clearly. Here are a few other translations. NLT, these outcasts oppose me to my face. They send me sprawling and lay traps in my path. ERV, they attack me on my right side. They knock my feet out from under me. They build ramps to attack and destroy me like a city. Verse 15, NLT reads live in terror now. My honor has blown away in the wind, and my prosperity has vanished like a cloud. The UCG reading plan states the following about this chapter. Chapter 30 snaps back to the grim here and now. rather than respect, Job now receives contempt even from those viewed as the low life of that society, the sons of outcast ruffians, verses 1 to 11. To demonstrate the unfairness of God, Job takes each of the themes he introduced in chap. 29 and contrasts his past and present state. Now, in chapter 30, Job is mocked by young and old, vv. 1 to 8, and verbally attacked, vv. 9 to 15. Now there is no blessing from God, but only suffering, vv. 16 to 17, and affliction, vv. 18 to 19, however urgently Job pleads, vv. 20 to 23. Perhaps worst of all, there is no compassion for one who constantly showed his compassion for others, vv. 24 to 31. No matter how great Job's suffering, there is no relief, Lawrence Richards, The Bible Reader's Companion, 1991, note on chap. 30. Job's statements in chapters 29 to 30 regarding his help and compassion for others in need rebuts Eliphaz's contrived charges against him in Job 22 5 to 9. We have no reason to doubt Job's description of himself, as it is well in keeping with God's description of him as blameless and upright. Job will have more to say on the issue of his treatment of others when he concludes this summary discourse in the next chapter. End.